is the season of Christmas. And we oftentimes associate Christmas with gift giving, gifts. The gift I'd like you to consider for Christmas is what masters bring, like Jesus. This is the season we celebrate Master Jesus Christ. And the gift that he brought, which you would not think of in these terms, and that's because you have a human brain, is self-doubt. Something is hiding in plain sight, but we don't get it. It's radiation. The truth of radiation of infinite love. Everything has frequency of radiation. But the question is, are we tuned to the subtle frequency consciousness? That's where self-doubt needs to be taken seriously. We know that dogs demonstrate their extraordinary ability to sniff out or identify things that humans just simply haven't got the ability to recognize through their sniffing out. But dogs don't only sniff out, they have between 100 and 1,000 times greater capacity for the frequencies of smell. But they also have frequencies of subtle receptivity to radiation. So that's why they make such good, let's say, protection dogs, and why they identify danger where the human is walking willy-nilly into the midst of it. I had a dog that kept me from getting clobbered in New York. He sensed that around the corner to which I was walking with him, that there was someone there waiting to do damage to me. And he wouldn't let me go around the corner. And so the person jumped out with a brick in their hand, ready to attack me, but I was already in pulling back, and so he missed. Now, I had no receptivity to that at the time, but he did. And why do we use hogs and pigs to go out truffle snuffing? Truffles run thousands of dollars a pound. And you would think at that rate, humans would develop the ability to smell them out in the forest. Pigs and hogs can, but not humans. And how is it that birds and animals can migrate hundreds, if not thousands, of miles no maps. What kind of receptivity do they have? What kind of direction do they pick up on? I mean, trout and salmon going up waterfalls to get to spawning grounds. That's amazing. The coming of a master like Jesus wasn't to, let's say, just make you feel good. It was to create doubt in your ego self and to pick up on the subtle frequency of the truth within you. We are so preoccupied with our false information, our false identity, that we can't pick up on our real identity, which is our spirit. And the idea that we think that the masters create a need for faith or God, the idea of faith, why would it take faith to pick up on the frequency of Creator? Because we're addicted to gross frequencies of ego mind. Plain and simple. We are addicted to the biological, let's say, training from day one to go from the subtle receptive to the gross struggle. The struggle to get, to want, to think of wanting, to having, to getting, to managing, to learning how to use our biological, physiological body in preference to our soul. So, if we really get down to it, we should be celebrating the coming of self-doubt. Because until we doubt our capacity without spirit being referred to, as a man thinketh, so does he become. And what are you thinking? Oh, I wonder if the bread is done. Oh, I wonder, should I, shouldn't I, da 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 da. Could I, would I, do they, don't they? We have a million distractive thoughts that we don't doubt. We just don't doubt it. So we train and follow behind dogs to do the searching that we should be able to do. No, we can't. I want you to think for a moment about water. Since we know that water can pick up words written on a bottle that the water is in and create a frequency representation of what might be called a snowflake or ice crystal that is uniquely attuned to the frequency of a word, whether it's in one language or another. Thank you. Love. joy, hate, whatever the word is, water seems to pick up the frequency and relate to it, and we can get a picture of it. So it's not like it doesn't know, it's just that we had to use freezing it and then putting it in a jar, freezing it, and then taking the crystals out and then photographing them to get what water knew, what water knows. And in fact, further experimentation has shown that if you are praying over water, it can actually make a picture of you in frequency that can be photographed. So think of the amount of frequency we miss. And we miss it because we believe in our thinking. We believe our thinking is important. Now, dogs are really kind of, you know, they have the ability to identify your energy. For instance, at a hospice hospital, there's a cat that used to roam the halls. He was what you might call a comfort animal. However, if he was roaming the halls and he picked up on someone close to death, he went in that room and would not leave the bed of that person until they passed. And the nurses could tell that the cat was doing a better diagnostic ability than they were. And why does a veterinarian in Japan take his chimp with him or keep him in the clinic to quiet dogs and cats that are being brought in for treatment? The doctor couldn't quiet them, but the chimp could. You see, if we keep following back, the more we developed our brain capacity to speak and then communicate ideas, we got lost in the communication of word ideas rather than sense taking in information. And we lost the ability to sense out what is all around us. We live in an ocean of information we don't pick up on. So when the masters come, they're actually asking you to develop doubt. Doubt in your ego mind thoughts. As a man thinketh, so does he become. Our karmas follow our inability to doubt our ego, to become still and receptive. It's interesting that Jesus was walking down a street having a conversation with a few disciples, and a woman came rushing up behind him and grabbed hold of the hem of his garment and was made well. She picked up on frequency, and Jesus said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I could feel your radiation, and it made me well." So it wasn't his words. He wasn't speaking to her. There was no conversation with her until after she was made well by radiation. She picked up on his radiation while other people were walking by or doing whatever they were doing, nonchalant, you know, not present, not picking up anything. Masters don't come to actually teach by word of mouth. You can't teach the truth by word of mouth. They come to create doubt in word of mouth and trust in pure radiation. God power is pure radiation, frequency, infinite love, non-judgmental love. How do you put that into your daily thinking? Can you stuff God into your pea brain? The frequency is there, but the pea brain is blocking with high speed frequency and tension so that you don't pick up the radiation, you pick up your thinking. You're attuned to your thinking, to your judgments. That's good, that's bad. Look at that color, I like that color, I don't like that color. Gee, there's dust on this and there's that, that, that. I ought to be doing this and you know. There isn't anything that we think all day long that relates to don't think. It's screaming. We're in an ocean. We're in a universe of frequencies we don't pick up on because we're thinking. So you might call it torture that you beat your head against a wall of misinformation and try to make sense out of it. Instead of realizing that it's in the quiet that inspiration comes. It's when we stop thinking, and we go down to alpha wave, a resting of the brain, that light frequency can make an inroad to experience. It doesn't mean that light and love aren't always there. It means that you're not at the door. You're not receptive. You're feeding in the trough, a hog's trough of nonsense. A hog's trough of nonsense is thinking, really. And we see it from time to time because the masters bring it to our attention, but we're so dedicated to it, so conditioned by it, that we don't stop feeding at the hog trough. The idea that Jesus, the man that was carrying the Christ energy, we say joy to the world, the Lord has come. Yeah, he came to give us doubt. Doubt in who we've been and keep on being so that we will let go and receive in quietude the joy of spirit. But to get the joy of spirit, we have to try to, let's say, create a similitude of joy in ourselves. Let's say a beginner's trial joy. Quiet joy. Open heart rather than contracted heart. Open mind rather than contracted mind. And every time we go through the history of a series of reading about masters who have come and gone and gone through all the trials they went through, what killed them? How many were killed? Because they came to create doubt in the authority of man as opposed to the authority of love. The authority of mental nonsense. I'm special because. And we're special as a group because. And what do we have up to this day other than war after war after war after war after death by the bucket load? Because we can't be open-hearted. We can't get over being self-righteous, selfish. I'm right, you're wrong, this isn't true. Well, self-doubt is what the masters try to bring so that you stop thinking that what you've learned egotistically as a person, what you're thinking, is nonsense. Man, know thyself. But as a man thinketh, so does he become. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Welcome karma. And yet what letting go to the open heart means is forgiveness. Not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's forgiveness. Open heart. And when we see that applied in places where we would be surprised, among people from war-torn areas who have forgiven the people who have bombed them or tortured them or whatever, that the reconciliation, the love that is spawned between the enemy and the attacked is amazing. The stories are amazing. And yet, vast majorities of people go through life 99.9% to go through life not getting self-doubt. Am I right? It's a hard pill to swallow when everything is trying to tell you, you need to be right, you need to get this right, you need to be strong, you need to be smart, you need to have a good job, you need to, you know, you need, you need, you need, you need. And I'm afraid, I'm afraid, and I'm afraid. So, here we are. Instead of the idea that gift giving is things, the gift of doubt, self-ego doubt, so that the real gift of love can become dominant, the real open heart can become dominant, rather than the idea that, you know, we got a gift. You got a gift of another opportunity to get rid of what you do instead of what you could be, what you are inside at the core, the soul that leaves the body terminates the body. So what's the most important thing in the body? The mind, the ego, or the soul? And if you doubt your soul because you don't use it, you lose all the sensitivity that even primitive animals have better. They can sense the danger. They can sense the fraud. They can sense what you're thinking. And by the way, your karma has come because of what you're thinking. Because people pick up on, oh, look at that creep over there, you know, and why can't they afford better clothes? And we have what we think is going on over and over and over again, but we don't catch it as having a repercussion. And that's why I tell the story of the king that was sitting in meditation, and he saw this big pile of dung, and a voice of God said, this is your critical thinking, and this is what you will eat when you leave the body. Luckily, the king had a master, and he went running to his master and said, what do I do? I had this vision of leaving the body, and when I got to the other side, there was this pile of dung, and the voice of God said, this is your critical thinking, and this you shall eat. And the master said, well, I want you to come down from the palace in street clothes, so you look anonymous. And I want you to walk with me through the street around noontime. So they were walking along the street about noontime, and the master said, see that guy walking towards us down there? And he says, yeah. He says, think a negative thought towards him. And so the king started thinking, I want to kill you. And this man finally looked so agitated, the one coming towards him, he got more and more agitated the closer he got. And finally he came up and started beating on the chest of the king, saying, I want to kill you, I want to kill you. So the master said, now do you see the power of your thoughts of criticism and judgmentalness? And the king said, yes, I do now. what do I do? And the king said, well, I mean, the master said, well, tonight I want you to dress as the king. And then I want you to walk through the streets with a harlot on your arm, with a bottle of wine in your hand. And I want you to laugh and talk as you walk through the street. And then I want you to hurry back to the palace and sit in meditation. So the king said, okay. And the master said, be sure to sprinkle a little wine on your clothes so you reek of wine. So the king did that. And of course, what happened is when he got back to the palace, he's sitting in meditation. He was shown that everybody that had seen him walking with the town harlot, that they were criticizing him, judging him, making things not wonderful. And what he saw was that the pile of dung that he was supposed to eat when he left the body got smaller and smaller and smaller, and they were taking it away as they criticized him in thought. It was going to their pile. And so this went on all night, and in the morning, there was still a little bit of dung. And so he prayed and he asked the master what could he do to get rid of the rest of the pile. And the master said, that you have made and that you will eat. Well, yeah. We don't have an iota that we are in an ocean of information we're not picking up on. The plants are talking to us. The birds are talking to us. The rocks are talking to us. The water is talking to us. And we simply do not gravitate to the enormity of beauty that is surrounding us. The kindness, the love. And because we don't love enough, because we're not open-hearted enough, we're not picking up on those frequencies. In the book, Kinship with All Life, J. Allen Boone had a dog brought to him who was a Hollywood dog that did acting, very bright dog. And the owners of the dog were going to have to leave town for a couple of weeks and asked him, J. Allen, if he would let the dog come and be with him because he worked at home by riding, and that they want a 24-hour company for this very expensive, well-trained dog. So he said, okay. So they came over with the dog, and of course, immediately when the door opened, the dog walked in, went through the house, surveyed the whole house, every room, and came back down and sat next to the trainer and the two that owned the dog and nodded his approval. And so when the owners left, J. Allen Boone with the dog, he began to realize that somebody else was in charge of his life and that the dog knew things that he didn't know, and new timing that he didn't know, and knew when to eat and where the food was and et cetera, et cetera. And so what happened is that the dog wanted to sleep in bed with him. And Jay Allen wasn't used to having a dog sleep with him. But the dog always turned his fanny towards the pillow and laid the opposite direction of putting his head on the pillow. He put his head towards the foot of the bed. And so finally he couldn't figure out what was going on with this dog. And then the dog thought transferred to him, I was trained as a guard dog. The French doors are at the foot of the bed. I am to guard the doors. So I have to face the doors. So they changed the bed around and they put the pillows up towards the doors, and everybody was happy. Jay Allen and the dog, Strongheart, was happy because he was laying in the right direction to be able to attack if anything was coming through the French doors. Then Jay Allen Boone would be sitting and writing, and the dog would come up and drop his walking boots by his feet. Time for a walk, thank you. And so Jay Allen would stop what he was doing and put on the boots, and they'd march up in the Hollywood Hills. And so finally he just got so beside him, Jay Allen, got so beside himself that he was so inferior to knowing timing and how to communicate with Strongheart, that he was sitting up with Strongheart on a kind of a plateau looking out over Hollywood and Los Angeles lights in the evening. And he kept praying that he would be able to communicate with Strongheart. And finally, he heard this voice that said, stop talking down to me. And it dawned on him that he didn't know, he didn't realize that that was what he was doing. But when he reviewed how he handled Strongheart, that was what he was doing. And so from that time on, he was able to communicate with Strongheart. Strange. Talking down to a dog that had better timing and better sensitivity in some areas than he did. So there we are. What are we missing? What are we missing? Could it be everything? Could it be everything? Water that can read your intentions. Water in the Ganges that is so polluted, you would think that every single person who went to the Ganges would get sick. But instead, with dead animals floating by and refuge and blah, 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 when they have the big religious ceremonies at the Ganges, no one gets sick from the water. And what they've done is they've seen that the water, when sewage is being put into the water, they sample it, And then within a few yards, they sample it, and it's clean of the bacteria that was put in a few yards up. Through prayer and respect for the Ganges. Now, what is the prayer and respect for the Ganges? The Ganges is a life source of water to people. And they, over time, realized it. And they appreciate it. And that's why they go to the Ganges to pray and have these ceremonies with the Ganges, to thank the Ganges for its care of them, basically. So here we are. What are we missing? A universe of information. That's what we're missing. And it's not that we couldn't be receptive, it's that we've practiced not being receptive. That is the methodology of raising humans, is to make them dedicated to language conditioning as opposed to subtle receptivity to subtle frequencies. And it takes work. It is work. That's why so few people can say or can be enlightened. It's because they are so conditioned. And at the same time, their sensitivities has been diminished over time through evolution. Our sense of smell is diminished. We have good sight, but not as good as a bird, not as good as a hawk or an eagle. An eagle can see a mouse from 1,000 yards in the air. Two eyes on two sides of the head, you know. They see in a way that we can't see. And hearing and sensing, smelling. Our sense of smell is horribly diminished compared to other animals. Bears can smell birdseed over a mile away. And they come and they eat out of your bird feeder. They smell cooking oil like 3 or 4 miles away. And they'll go towards where the oil is being cooked. So here we are. Everything has radiation. And if it has radiation, it has some kind of intelligence. And we aren't getting it. We're not receptive. So if we would slow down and everything we begin to do, we ask, is this the way you would like to be planted? Is this where you'd like to be planted? Is this the way you'd like to be trimmed? Is this the way you would not like to be trimmed? Is this where you would like to be placed? No. The pink gravel, granite dills, in our yard comes in on our shoes and the cleats. And we get all kinds of gravel in the house. And I used to just pick it up and, you know, put it in the garbage because I was walking around. Until it said, I do not want to be thrown in the garbage. I want to be placed back in the garden or the driveway. Thank you. Okay, I really had to become a better listener. So here we are. Every single thing has some form of consciousness we're not on frequency with. because we have become, let's say, reduced in sensitivity because of conditioning and evolution. And reconditioning ourselves, we're beginning to hear the song of the whales and the dolphins, and we now begin to be able to use highly technical equipment and fly over, send drones over territory, and they're discovering lost cities in the jungles that we had no idea were there, are hundreds and thousands of years old, covered over with vines and soil and things. And now a new form of radio sensitivity is picking it out in the forests. So just because we're beginning to technologically make strides to radiation doesn't mean that we have biologically. We're just slowly seeing how widespread and developed radiation information is, and that it can be picked up under the canopy of a jungle. Lost cities, lost civilizations. So we're amateurs at sensitivity. And that's what the masters come to help us understand. Don't trust your intelligence. Don't trust your lack of sensitivity. Don't trust it. Be still and ask for receptivity. Be open to the fact that frequency is everywhere you're missing. Plants can actually signal each other when a predator insect comes into the area. They are communicating. And we don't understand it. We walk through this world blind, deaf, and dumb, apparently. So doubt, self-doubt, is a very important thing that the masters are trying to help you develop. Not to make you weak, but to make you free from your delusion. Free from the dream that is fraudulent. That you're important as an ego, but not as a spirit. You don't keep hearing that from the minute you're born. Doubt your mind, but trust your spirit. Well, you have to develop that receptivity to spirit. And that's what the masters are here to do. Reconnect us. And like I was saying, electricity, a toaster has to be plugged in to work. A refrigerator needs to be plugged in to work. So even though, mechanically speaking, technologically speaking, it's a refrigerator, it's not refrigerating until it's plugged in. And you're not human, God awake in man, until you're plugged into your spirit. You're walking around as a man, but not as a human. And the masters come to help us develop the awakened frequency towards spirit in the man body, while still walking around in a man body. sorry, women, it just seems that man was the original word. Means heart, mind, and body. Okay. And he is the soul, the God self in the body. So Merry Christmas is the joy that you're going to throw out your wasted thinking, your wasted beliefs, your misinformation. It's kind of like cleaning out the closet. We go from one thing, one thought, to another, to another, to another, without realizing that's what we're doing. Now, if water, which we think of as a simple molecule, a simple molecule, H2O, two hydrogen, one oxygen, can read your mind, can understand your condition, can understand your love or your confusion or your egoness or whatever, water, a rock, yeah. So do we have enough time to undo the damage of generations of conditioning? That's what's being requested of us, to undo our addiction to our addictions. As Master used to say, we're nothing but a bunch of addictions, habits and addictions that need to be down-trained and out-trained. So, the gift of Christmas is not to believe in yourself as an ego, to doubt yourself as an ego. And therefore, if you doubt yourself, you might pray. You might sit and ask for direction, no matter whether it's subtle or not. So the real gift is to doubt what's keeping you from attunement to the Spirit and God. That's the real gift, is to doubt the way you've been doing it, not totally successfully, until we can attune to the Spirit and be guided by the Spirit and understand that it's the most valuable thing we can do all day, every day. And whatever it takes to get to a place where we can read the writing on the bottle until we can, in a drop of water, be receptive. Oh. A little more respect for everything. A little more respect for everything. Now, the good news is you have a lot of water in your body. Blessing it and asking it to help you become quieter and more attuned, more open-hearted, better quality of circulation and that. Our tension keeps the fluids in our body constricted. Wouldn't it? Think about it. And tension creates toxicity. And what does toxicity do? Creates corruption of reproduction of cells. So everything that we do that is provocative of tension and not monitoring it and relaxing it and relaxing it and relaxing it is we're just aggravating our separation from spirit. That's all. And we're doing it knowledgeably, but not knowledgeably. We have now the information, but we also have the malignant distortion of forgetfulness and willfulness of the ego not to relax, not to give up its domain of addictive tension. The ego lives in the world of tension. Why did the Egyptians cut the heart out and put it on a balance scale with a white feather on one side, the heart on the other, with the idea that if the heart isn't lighter than a feather, you don't get to go to paradise? How much tension is, heart disease is a big problem. We have a huge amount of heart disease because we're tense, hurrying and worrying. The idea that we should work more than 8 hours, more than 12 hours, with no pay, according to some people in government these days. I'm sorry, but you see, slavery to tension is what we've become. We've become slaves of tension. So that we can drill more oil, so we can drive faster cars, and it's just insane what we do to the planet and to ourselves in the meantime. If we injure the planet, we injure ourselves, don't we? If we injure water, we injure ourselves. And we're injuring our own inner water, body water, and fluids by tension. The cells of our body. Why is inflammation the big bugbear in medicine? Inflamed by toxins. And where are the toxins coming from? Tension. You can eat garbage and turn it into sustenance. You can eat the best quality food and turn it into poison by tension. Acid indigestion. My. So instead of thinking cheery weary, let's go take a sleigh ride. Why don't we do cheery weary? I have a new respect for consciousness, real consciousness, love and joy and relaxation. And that's my work, and that's the only work, is to doubt my ego and to trust spirit, even though I don't know it's there. Is God over there in another galaxy? Or is God just a thought away, a relaxation away, a joy away? It's so much more simple than we let it be. The tension is outrageous. Letting go of tension, not trusting what's making you tense. Relax, relax, relax. Stop beating yourself up to think you've got to be one way or another if it's not relaxed, if it's not joyful, if it's not more stillness, more receptivity. Well, married out.